It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Smith rifles that one to Mims. And that's a foot race. He's going to win. Touchdown, Baylor. Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards. Five straight games, Anthony, where he's got a touchdown catch of over 20.
That's deflected and picked off Mosley. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
Bell into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder. 85 yards.
There was contact with a quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know, and it's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for Chronicles of Narnia, featuring the man who this show is named for. He's the resident stat geek over at JetsXFactor.com, Mr. Michael Narnia. Michael, we were going through the numbers on the Jets 2020 draft class. Last week, we did Mekhi Becton and Denzel Mims, and this week, I want to dive a little bit deeper, and we'll start with Ashton Davis, the safety from Cal, who went number 68 overall. Now, we talked about Denzel Mims' athleticism last week. Let's talk about Ashton Davis's athleticism. This is a guy who is elite, off the charts for the safety position. We're talking a track star, somebody who won all kinds of awards. He was all Pac-12 in both football and track, which is really, really impressive. I think this is another guy that Joe Douglas looked at and liked the character, because remember, we're talking about all these people that were team captains. And so you go out and you get guys like Denzel Mims, like Mekhi Becton, like Ashton Davis, who all the teammates and coaches rant and rave about and talk about how great they are. So I would imagine that Ashton Davis's athletic numbers measure up really well against other safeties who've been drafted pretty high recently.
Yeah, and unfortunately we didn't get to see any testing from Ashton Davis because he didn't run at the combine. And he was going to do it as pro day, but then, you know, everything that has happened, that happened. So he wasn't able to put any of those numbers out there. So we don't have any numbers on him athletically to look at. But in terms of what he brings on the field, there's a lot to like. And versatility is the name of the game in the NFL now. I feel like the way things are presented in the media, there's a lot, still too much in terms of just pigeonholing players to positions. And Davis is kind of a victim of that. He is a safety, you know, that if you're going to pick a position, that is one for him. But it's a lot more than just that. And that's the way it is for every player. There's so much rotation in the league now. But versatility is something he brings to the table. He played 409 snaps at free safety this past season, 120 in the box, and 112 as a slot corner. So he's able to take on a lot of different roles. And that is huge for a Jets defense that doesn't have a lot of talent at outside corner, at the edge, and definitely likes to move Jamal Adams around a lot. So he's really going to help them just get the most out of Jamal Adams and Marcus May and just continue to play into this defense that Greg Williams ran last season that has a lot of rotation in the secondary. So he can play a lot of different roles in coverage. That's obviously what he's most known for, that track speed, and particularly when he's lined up deep, that's where he's most comfortable. He had the fifth best coverage grade in the nation when playing single high safety over the past two seasons. So that's definitely where he's at his best. And obviously it's where he played his most as well. So Cal was aware of that, but he can play these other roles if you need him to. He does offer that. But also he's a really good finisher downhill. His tackling is pretty good. He had the best run defense grade in the Pac-12 in 2018. It was above average again in 2019. And his tackling efficiency is pretty good. Only missed 8 tackles against 57 in 2019. That's a 12.3% miss rate. That was at the 70th percentile among all safeties. In the running game, he only missed 2 tackles while making 21. And his miss rate was even lower before that. 27 to 18, he had a 10.8% miss rate. So tackling efficiency, he's really good with that. It kind of similar to Marcus May. When you do need him to come downhill and defend the run, he can do that. Although Marcus May's misses, when he does miss, are pretty ugly. We're talking about the Cleveland game right now against Odell Beckham. I still don't know what he was doing in that play. But May overall does finish pretty good when he has to come down and make a tackle. Davis is very similar to that. Even though he doesn't do it a whole lot, he's efficient when you need him to. But overall, he brings that versatility. He can play slot corner for you. You probably don't want him to play in the box too much. He doesn't necessarily have the size for that, at least the last time we saw him on the field. But free safety is where he's the strongest. He's very good in coverage when he's in that deep position. But he can come down and finish as a tackler at a really good rate.
Michael, one thing that I thought was interesting about him is that he put up some really good numbers that you were talking about in coverage, but he also put up some pretty eye-popping kick return numbers. You have to wonder if Brant Boyer is going to look at him and want to use him in that capacity. I know that if Greg Williams wants to use him in a high-profile role on the defense, there will be temptation to keep him out of that because you're worried about injury, but he's somebody that could potentially make a real impact in the kickoff return game.
It's definitely something he offers. In 2017, he led the entire nation with 39 kickoff returns. Wasn't too productive with those, only averaged 21.2 yards a return. But the following season, in 2018, he was second in the Pac-12 in yards per kickoff return with 26.2. And he didn't play too much on special teams in 2019 because, as you said, he became, like if he would in the NFL, he became a starter more regularly on defense. So that he didn't play too much on special teams. But he did return a couple of punts and was pretty productive with those for 14 and 19 yards. But whenever you have a guy like that who has that much athleticism, until he does establish himself as a key part of either the offense or the defense, the special teams coaches are going to want to get him out there and see if they can get anything out of him. The Jets kind of had a revolving door at kickoff returner last year. Vincent Smith, Ty Montgomery, even Braxton Berrios took a few. So, you know, Ashton Davis could definitely be in that conversation to start out, depending on what his defensive role is. Vincent Smith ended up being producing at a pretty good level as a kickoff returner, but I believe he only returned 10 kickoffs, so it was a small sample. So Davis definitely could be in that mix.
What about coverage, Michael? I know you talked about how he was impressive as a single high safety, and I think ultimately that's where he'll end up full-time once Marcus May moves on at the end of the 2020 season. But what did you find in terms of his numbers? Because this is a kid who was all Pac-12 twice.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that in 2019, from a numbers perspective, he did take a little bit of a dip. He did give up. His numbers overall in coverage were pretty average in 2019. 57th percentile in passer rating and 36th percentile in yards per cover snap. But you also have to consider that he's doing what a lot of other safeties aren't. He's, like I said, he's playing some slot corner, comes down in the box sometimes. So he's definitely taking on responsibilities most other cornerbacks are not. But I think his grades best sum it up, because part of being really good at safety is just making sure the ball doesn't come your way in the first place. So the fact that his coverage grade as a single high safety over the past two seasons was best in the nation probably leads you to believe that, you know, he's doing a good job playing his position, not letting the ball come his way. And when it does come his way, he's making some plays on it. He did make a couple of really good plays in one game against Justin Herbert in Oregon. And those two guys could face again this year. Davis could get to face Justin Herbert when the Jets play the Chargers, depending on when that is, if Herbert is playing. But overall in coverage, he did, in terms of when he was targeted, pretty average this past season, but overall I think he did do a really good job when he was able to take that single high role and be able to just kind of sit back, read the defense, and make plays on it. So in terms of his that is one kind of a red flag in terms of if the Jets want to use him in slot coverage, convert him to cornerback, anything like that, because his on-ball coverage numbers aren't the greatest. But at the same time, this is still a guy who has some projection involved. You know, he was he did play football in high school, obviously, but it took him some time to make the team at Cal. Still has some work to do in terms of recognition, things like that, but is a tremendous athlete. So there is some projection with him, and obviously you're drafting him for the most part to kind of make the most out of his tools as an athlete. But still, at the same time, he had good enough instincts to be one of the best safeties in the Pac-12 over the past 2 years. But overall, I think the bottom line with him is that he's really good in that deep safety role, and everything else, while he can do it, there still is a little bit more work for him in those areas.
As far as tackling, he's not quite as advanced as he is with coverage, right?
Well, he did tackle at a pretty efficient rate in terms of the frequency of his misses over the past. In 2019, he was at the 70th percentile in tackling efficiency at about 12%. So he does tackle pretty good in terms of avoiding missed tackles, but It definitely is, when you look at him and definitely his frame and everything, he's not exactly the guy who you want, like, in a Jamal Adams role coming down, playing the edge or anything like that, but he does tackle at a pretty efficient rate.
Somebody who has great athletic traits as well, but didn't produce quite as much as Ashton Davis did, certainly at a different position anyway, was Jabari Zuniga, the edge rusher from Florida, who could be a 4-3 end or 3-4 linebacker. I guess we're going to find out soon enough. He was injured a lot in 2019, but in 2018, he flashed a lot. And I would imagine that you found some pretty interesting tidbits in terms of his athleticism and production, because in 2018, he was pretty good in both areas.
Yeah, and what's interesting with Zuniga is that in 2019, he only appeared in 6 games, one of them against Kentucky. He left the game pretty early with an injury, but played in 6 games this past season. But when he was out there, and it was a small sample, but he played really well when he was on the field in 2019. He had 19 pressures over 124 pass rush snaps. That's a 15.3% pressure rate. And if he did qualify, that would have ranked at the 94th percentile among edge defenders. He was active in the run game, had a run stop, which is a run stop is a tackle when in the run game that is, you know, actually positive value for the defense. So like a stuff doesn't have to be behind the line, could be short tackle, but he had 7 run stops on 64 run defense snaps, 10.9% rate. That would have been 4th best among all edge defenders. So small sample, but he played really well when he was healthy this past season. But past couple seasons before that, 2017 and especially 2018, that's when he played the most and was the most healthy. He was not able to play at quite the level he did at that 2019 small sample, but he still played pretty well. He over 1,015 snaps, 22 games from 2017 to 18, 65 pressures on 521 pass rush snaps. That's a 12.5% rate. That would have been at the 82nd percentile. And his run defense was pretty good as well. Had 30 run stops over that time, 6.1% rate, 55th percentile. So he was producing at a pretty good rate when he was healthy back in 2018. His pass rushing was pretty good in terms of efficiency. So, like you said, his athleticism is really good as well. 4.64 in the 40. That's at the 87th percentile among edge. So athletically, he does bring it to the table production wise as well. And again, I think one of the big things to remember is that everyone's pretty good that's getting drafted. That's why they're here, because there's so many players in college football, and only the best of them are getting drafted. So most of these guys are going to have really good production. The biggest thing is you want to see, by looking at the tape, by looking at their character, everything like that, how likely those numbers are to translate. But with Zuniga, he definitely has production that you can build off of, especially as a pass rusher. And he was showing some signs of pretty major improvement early in 2019 before injuries kind of destroyed his season. He actually returned twice before missing more games. He had 3 separate stints of missed games with a high ankle sprain in 2019. So he kept trying to come back. I wasn't able to, did eventually return for their last game of the season, a bowl game. But in the time that he was out there, especially early in the season, seemed like he was going to have a breakout year, but I wasn't able to stay healthy enough to do that. But his pass rushing production was pretty solid when he was in college for the Gators.
He flashed elite athleticism, but his teammate, LaMichael Perine, did not. He had some pretty solid production, but like you said, you have to look at how likely that is to translate to the pro level. So when you looked at the stats and you looked at the athletic numbers, how likely do you think it is that it translates?
Yeah, I think Perine's interesting because he had really good volume production, but the efficiency wasn't necessarily the best. And definitely we were looking for, when you're looking for really special traits, like something that you can build off of, whether it's speed, shiftiness, quickness, receiving ability, things like that, there isn't much in terms of, you know, him having that one signature skill that you could really build off of. But, you know, he's a pretty well-rounded player, and Bilal Powell is a comparison that he gets a lot. And I think it definitely makes sense, because when you look at his game, evaluate your strengths and weaknesses, again, he doesn't really have the most amazing traits that, you know, could make him a superstar, but he is pretty well-rounded. For that reason, he could be good. He could be a pretty good backup or a decent spot starter. And whether or not you think that's worth his draft position, that's another argument. I'm not exactly sure it was, but he does have, I think, a pretty decent floor just because of how well-rounded he is, how many different things he could do well. In the receiving game, he's pretty involved. He had 40 receptions in 2019. That was tied for the seventh most among FBS running backs, and he had 5 receiving touchdowns. That was tied for the second most. Drops, he's been pretty good with those. Only 2 drops in his career on 72 catches. That's a 2.7% drop rate. So his hands are really good. He's not necessarily the most dynamic receiver. His yards per reception numbers are pretty low because most of his catches are checkdowns. But the drops, keeping those low, is definitely a plus. Ball security is really good. No fumbles in 2019. Just 1 fumble in 2018. So these are things Powell does well, and that's why I think he's a really good comparison. That's part of what Powell really brings to the table. Pass blocking, he's reliable there. He doesn't give the ball away. In terms of fumbles, he doesn't drop the ball. Just these little things that aren't, again, they're not game-changing abilities, but from over the course of, you know, a whole season, multiple seasons, the fewer drops you can have, the less times you fumble the ball, you're just saving possessions, saving plays for your team, and it's value that adds up over the long term. And that's a really good trait for a backup running back. So he does bring those to the table. But overall, I think those are the primary things: ball security, his ability to be involved as a receiver, even if he's not necessarily Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey or anything like that. He doesn't drop the ball, he doesn't fumble it, and those are probably the top 2 things with Perine.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
I've said a few times that I feel like Perine is basically projecting to be an okay running back at the NFL level. You've sort of hinted at this, Michael. He's not bad at anything, but he's not especially good at anything. You think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. There just aren't too many things that he's really bad at, but he's also not great at anything. The drops and ball security, again, those are 2 things he's really good at, but they're just not needle-moving abilities. You'd like to have all of your running backs be good at that. It's very important, but it's just not a huge value. You know, it's not something that adds a ton of value. It's not like you're going to draft a guy because his ball security is good, but he is good at those things. And the after contact game is where his numbers are interesting. He did average 3.73 yards after contact per rush attempt. That was at the 79th percentile. But at the same time, he didn't break a ton of tackles either. That's something he really struggled with. He had 24 missed tackles forced on 132 carries. That's that average per carry is only at the 31st percentile among qualifiers. So doesn't break a ton of tackles. And again, when you're putting that, you know, kind of filter on these numbers, in which we're looking at, okay, all these guys are really good, they should be going to the NFL, they should be really good. If you rank 31st percentile at something that's that major, elusiveness for a running back, even though it might only be below average in college, if we're comparing that against other guys who are, you know, going good enough to go to the NFL, it's definitely among the worst in the draft class. So he does not force a lot of missed tackles. Even though he does have the good yards after contact number, he did get 87 of those yards on one play. And if you take those yards out of it, his average definitely goes way down. So elusiveness is something he doesn't really bring to the table. And if you're looking for a back who could actually add a lot of value whether it's in the running game or the receiving game, but particularly on the ground, if you're really going to add a lot of value, independent of what your offensive line does, you've got to break tackles. And that's something that Perine did not really do that well.
Michael, let's talk about the pick after Perine, and that, of course, is Captain Morgan. I think that unless something was horribly, horribly wrong, he's never going to see the football field, which is part of why I thought this was a questionable draft pick. But there are reasons that he would have been picked in the 4th round, and the Jets weren't the only ones interested. I'm sure that you've got numbers that would show exactly why that is.
Yeah, well, with Morgan, I think it really comes down to what he did in 2018. He kind of put himself on the map that season. He transferred from Bowling Green to Florida International, and he had a really good 2018 season. His passer rating that season was 157.6, his NCAA passer rating, so they calculate it differently. But his passer rating that season was the best in Conference USA, one of the best marks in the history of that conference. 26 touchdowns, 7 picks, 8.4 yards per attempt. He was just very good that season. I think he put himself on the map. But this past season, he did play through a knee injury throughout most of the season, but was not able to come close to what he did in 2018. His production did overall take a pretty big dip. His completion percentage, 58%, and I'm not a big completion percentage guy, but it's definitely below the threshold. Although he did deal with drops quite a bit, his teammates dropped about 9% of his passes. That was a really a very high number, so they didn't help him out in that regard. But still, only 7.2 yards per attempt, which, while it would be solid in the NFL, is not quite a number you want to see from a prospect. 14 touchdowns, 5 picks, which isn't a bad ratio, but PFF did tag him with more turnover-worthy plays with 18 of those, so that suggests that he probably had a lot of dropped interceptions. More of those than big-time throws with 14, and that's kind of a subjective stat right there, the big-time throws, but still it's not the best ratio if you're looking for an NFL prospect, if we're putting it nicely. But deep passing is something that he struggled with. On passes over 20 yards downfield in 2019, he was at the 8th percentile in passer rating, 67.2, and that's NFL passer rating. 12th percentile in completion percentage on those throws, 27.3%, 17th percentile in yards per attempt with 9.6 on those throws, on the deep throws. So overall, the deep throwing is something that he struggles with, his touch on those. And even if you look at his highlights, a lot of his throws that are completed were very, very well underthrown. So deep throwing is something that he struggles with, not very efficient on those. And just overall, he took a step back in 2019. But 2018, I think, is definitely the biggest thing. I feel like he put himself on the map with that. Teams understand that he played through an injury this season, but you could still see the flashes of the arm talent. He grew up in Green Bay, very close to Lambeau Field. Maybe he has that Brett Favre gutsiness in him. But the deep throwing is something he struggles with. In 2018, he played really well. But intermediate passing, he does do that pretty well. He completed 56% of his intermediate passes in 2019 for 10 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, no picks, and had a 90.7 passing grade from PFF on those. That's 17th best in the nation. So intermediate throwing, he still showed some flashes in 2019.
One thing I'm curious about, Michael, is you know that there's going to be a lot of pressure because this line is still a work in progress. So let's just say Captain Morgan had to get rushed into the game because some sort of crazy scenario happens where Sam Darnold gets hurt and David Fales gets decapitated or whatever it is that happens that causes Captain Morgan to get onto the field. He'd have to presumably deal with a fair amount of pressure. How did he do against pressure when he was at FIU?
I mean, if David Fales got decapitated, I mean, I wouldn't put it past Captain Morgan to be the guy to blame for that with his sword kind of walking around Florham Park. But the thing is, if he did have to deal with pressure, he does have a pretty good resume there. 48.8% completion percentage in 2019 under pressure. That was at the 77th percentile, 71.6 passer rating, 66th percentile. So did a decent job, especially when you consider he was dealing with knee injury throughout most of the season when he was under pressure, and he doesn't take sacks. That's another thing, another Brett Favre comparison for the Green Bay kid. Only 12 sacks taken in 2019, third fewest among all quarterbacks in college with at least 300 dropbacks. So he does get that ball out, and his interceptions are relatively low for a guy who does get the football out pretty quickly, although he did have quite a few dropped interceptions based on his high number of turnover worthy plays. But in 2019, he did do a pretty respectable job, all things considered, under pressure.
Anytime you can go out on a question involving decapitation, you got to do it. So that's where we'll leave things this week. We'll get back into the talk about the rookie numbers next week when Michael comes back on to take us through the rest of the rookie class. In the meantime, make sure that you check out all the great work that Michael's putting up over at JetsXFactor.com and follow him on Twitter at Michael_Nania. If you haven't given this show a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. It doesn't take you much time. It doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could do that for us, we would be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and turnonthejets.com.